This is Racer Radio on AM 1170, The Answer. If it's a car, motorcycle, boat, or anything else with an engine in San Diego, it's on Racer Radio. Now, here's your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to Racer Radio, AM 1170. We are The Answer, and this segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better. New, used, makes no difference. 80% of their used inventory are trade-ins, if you can believe that. They don't go to the auction. They send to the auction. So if you're looking for a quality car, new or used, and you want to get your car serviced at the El Cajon Service Department, well, guess what? They have Quick Lane. They'll work on everything in your garage. So rest assured, you can have everything done by one shop and one shop only. El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better. All right. Hey, thank goodness for social media. Sarah Moldenhauer was nice enough to reach out to me on Facebook, and she is an NHRA alcohol dragster operator, if I'm not mistaken. It's a Group 7. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hi, how's it going?
Not bad at all. So you're in Group 7, correct?
Yeah, so I race in the 7th Division of NHRA.
Explain to the folks that maybe are not aware, where is that in the chain of things, say, starting at a junior dragsters and working your way up? How far are you away from actually getting into the big boys?
Kind of close. So, like you were saying, I started racing when I was 8 years old in junior dragsters, and I raced those until I was 18. And then my dad and I put together a supercomp dragster when I was 19, and I started racing that. And so, being in the supercomp dragster, we go to the races, like the national events where the pro guys, the Top Fuel, Funny Car guys, or Pro Stock, they're all racing. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little bit, I have a little bit more classes to go until I would be racing like Top Fuel or Funny Car, but we're right there.
Is that your goals and aspirations?
Oh, yes. I'd love to race Top Fuel one day.
Well, I tell you what, I interview and I always get them mixed up. Courtney runs the Top Fuel and Ashley races the Funny Car, right? Or would I get them mixed?
Yeah, yeah. So Courtney races the Funny Car, and then Brittany races the Top Fuel dragster.
Well, I'm real close with the whole family. I don't know how much of an opportunity you've had to chat with them, but I interview them at least 3, 4, 5 times out of the year, and I see them at Pomona both times. And they're just such a thrill to interview. I mean, they're such great race drivers and a great, you know, representative of the sport. And when I seen your Facebook page, I said, aha, I got to talk to this girl. Because you're local, right?
Yeah, I grew up in El Cajon, from San Diego, haven't left.
My goodness. Well, we are definitely going to put your race car. I know it's going to be a pain in the you-know-what, but we're going to drag you to KUSI TV. We're going to put you on one of my, probably a Sunday morning show, because that's where I get my best viewership. And you're going to drag all your sponsors down, because I know you and your dad can't do this all by yourself. And it's just my way of helping you give back to the people that got you where you're at so far in your career.
That would be awesome. We would love to do that.
I know. I know it sounds crazy, but I don't know if you've ever watched KUSI, because you're not, because you're way too young to be watching KUSI. But I try to bring a lot of young racers in. I don't care if they're in the Mazda Spec Series or if they're at Barona Speedway, you know, the dirt track. It doesn't make any difference, because that's what you guys need to get where you want to go, especially, you know, if that's your career choice.
Exactly. And I even remember when I was a kid, I was actually on KUSI. I was about 8 years old, and you guys did a segment on junior dragsters. And I think there was 3 or 4 of us, and I was one of them, one of the little kids that you guys interviewed on KUSI.
That had to be me. That had to be me, because I'm the only guy doing it. Well, good. I'm glad. And we'll get you back again and say, hey, look how far she's come. And speaking of which, who's on the side of the car? Who helps get you to the track every race?
So right now, it's me and my dad. We do this whole thing together. It's just us two.
No big sponsors?
Not yet. I'm looking, but not yet.
Wow. You need to go out and find. Yeah, we got to get you a sponsor. We definitely got to get you a sponsor. And I'm good at that. I seem to have all I got to do is get you on radio and TV. And I will tell you right now, and I always do this on air, so that way you know I can't be BSing, because there's nobody, too many people listening. But when you put your proposal together, you know, to go out after ad dollars, you know, or sponsorship, mm-hmm. you can put KCBQ and KUSI on it and tell them, if you sponsor me, that I can get you and your company on both the number one watch morning show in San Diego and the only motorsport show in San Diego, radio and TV. So,
wow, thank you. That'd be amazing. I will definitely do that.
And the only thing I want in return is, when you get my age, you do the same exact thing for any young driver trying to come up through the ranks, because that's what it's all about. I mean, you have the passion. That's not even an issue.
Yeah.
You just need the financial wear for all. You know, you need the Schumacher family. You need the Force family. You need somebody like that that sees value. And you're smart by going to the races where the big boys are at. Because you know they're watching you. You know they're watching
you. Yeah, and it's really fun being in that environment. And mm-hmm. that's one thing that I really like about, I mean, any kind of racing, but that's what I really like about drag racing, is it truly is like a small family and a community. And you see these people like once a month, but, you know, it's kind of like you've never left.
Right.
Like left each other. And, I mean, it's really cool that to have the Junior Dragster program, where you're like really giving back to the kids, and it's all, like you said, it's all about like giving back and sharing experiences and keeping the sport going.
Absolutely. And NHRA doesn't get nobody, no other motorsport. And you correct me if I'm wrong, no other motorsport venue that's considered a world-class venue like NHRA gets as connected and as close to their fans as NHRA. I don't know any other race. None. And you think to yourself,
I love the guys that interview there.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I mean, the first thing you do when you go to the track, you go get your nitro burn, you get that out of the way. And the next thing you do is you make sure you get round a top fueler when he lights off the starting line, so you get your ears all zapped in. Now you got to do it all, man. I'm telling you. And I love taking people there that have never been there, and all they've ever watched is on TV.
I know they have no idea what to expect.
None.
I love taking them down to the finish line when the top fuel guys go.
Yeah,
and having them just go by you so fast, like the look on people's faces is just it's like pure adrenaline, and you're not even in the car. It's amazing.
I know, and you're not in the car, and you're well, and it's so funny too, because one guy he bought a Pepsi and he set it on the stands, and we were like, God, we couldn't have been 200 feet off the starting line. I said, you might want to pick that soda up. He goes, why? And wah! And that went all over him. He was totally covered in a Pepsi. I says, I tried to tell you. Well, because nobody realizes a concussion. And have you ever found out what type of G-forces you deal with in your car? Have you looked at those numbers?
I believe it's either a G or it's very close to a G, at least one G-force.
Okay, all right, because I know top fuel, I mean, they're at 4 and 5, which,
yeah.
I don't know how John Force, that's why he talks so fast and talks so high, because he just had all the air squished out of him, and he's trying to get it back. God.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I was just, someone was asking me about, like, if people at the racetrack are all deaf, and I'm like, yeah, pretty much, and we all talk really, really loud, because we can't hear half the time.
No, and I refuse to take earplugs. I go, I'm not driving this far to muffle the most wonderful. There's no other sound on the planet that sounds like what comes out of an NHRA race. And I don't care if it's pro stock all the way up.
Yeah. Anything. It's amazing.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, kiddo. Did I send you my email?
Yes.
Okay. So I think you did email, now that I mention it. What I'll do is I'll find you and I'll go back and forth and find a Sunday that's good for you as far as you're not racing. And you know, if you want to move it out a little bit, just to kind of let maybe some potential people maybe are sitting on the fence about helping with sponsorship, you know, mm-hmm. say, hey, you know, if you hook up with me, come on down to KUSI. You know, we'll do an interview. We'll ask, why are you supporting this great kid? And, you know, so we'll we'll under promise and over deliver. How's that?
That sounds perfect to me. I can't wait.
All right. Then we're going to have some fun. So just look at your calendar, and because I'm at KUSI every Sunday. I'm not going anywhere.
I'll email you shortly.
Great. And I'll send you a copy of the show, and you can do whatever you like with it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Sarah, this has been a ton of fun, and I can't wait to talk with you down. In fact, after every race, you're going to have to kind of check back in with us and let us know how you did, good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah, no, I definitely will. You know, hope I'll have some pretty good news for you.
I can't wait. All right, kiddo, take care.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
All right, folks, we're going to take a small break. That is Racer Radio. When we come back, hopefully somebody from Barona is going to call in. I haven't seen any calls, so we may have to talk to Jeffrey about circle track racing. Stay tuned. This is AM 1170. We are the answer.
AM 1170, the answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. Racer Radio right here on AM 1170. This segment is brought to you by the good folks at Barona Circle Track. www.baronaspeedway.com. Baronaspeedway.com for all the wild action. Michelle and I were up there a couple of races ago. Just a fun time had by all. Let me tell you, got a lot of exercise too. Hey, go to baronaspeedway.com. Check out the schedule. Check out the rules and regulations in case you want to build a race car. And right now we've got Dirt Dude on the line. He is the voice of Barona Speedway. How you doing, bud?
Good about yourself, Dave.
Hey, what do you think about Earnhardt Jr.?
Didn't see it coming, but yeah. Did you hear any rumors that I guess Kyle Busch is going to retire too?
No, but you know, I would see Kurt before Kyle personally, but
I don't know. It's surprising, but I just a rumor. You know, you see this stuff on Facebook. You never know.
Yeah.
But last race. Last weekend, I called in, and I never got to the race results. We talked about how the racing went. I never got to the race results. So I'm going to cover those real quick, and then...
Yeah, let's get to work.
Okay, our pro and stock ponies were first up. Dennis Taylor got a main event win. He had a good run. Actually, he had a good run last, two races ago, but lap traffic ruined his night. Tommy Crow in a pro and a stock pony got a main event win. And then our IMC Modified, Cole Dick got another main event win. So he's got two main event wins. Matthew Hicks is right behind him, got his second place. So I want to say congratulations, Matthew Hicks. Just had a little baby. I think yesterday. So hopefully he can make it back to track. He's going to try and beat that streak of second places. And then in our pure stock, Mike Lurwell got a main event win in a pure stock. We had a lot of pure stock show up to that race. That was a good one. Dwarf Cars, Darren Brown got his second main event win. Good amount of Dwarf Cars showed up. Street Stocks, Brian Fitzgibbons got a main event win. And in our pure stock figure eight, Eric Evans got a main event win. Mike Lurwell, Mad Dog, drove in three different races. That was a pure stock. He drove into the figure eight and the unlimited figure eight, which Jesse Gordon got a main event win. He's out of Beaumont, came all the way down, first time bringing the car out.
Wow.
And, was looking at Parrish ran last night. I guess Bam Bam was their in track interviewer or track.
They've always had somebody that's actually in the pits or not in the pit. Yeah, actually in the pits. And you know what he does is
Connie Everhart.
Well, I don't know what happened. I
think she's on vacation. I've been following her. I follow a lot of people on Facebook.
Sure.
I wish a lot of people would follow us. You know.
Yeah, I hear you.
Corona. But I've been seeing her picture. She's been out riding on a motorcycle. So I think she went on a vacation for a while.
Or took a sabbatical, yeah. Well, I guess, according to Delosio, the guy knocked it out of the park. So he'll be calling in. He'll be calling in
here soon. But Jesse was there, and he got two more main event wins there from our track. That was Jesse Gordon. He ran a figure eight there and a trailer figure eight and won both of those with the same car that he brought to our track. So,
wow. Man, he's raking in a little bit of dough.
That was a pretty cool car. It's actually, I knew where it came from. It was a modified that's been turned into either a figure eight or he actually uses it for the whole like demo cross and anti-destruction things. He's got bars all the way around it. It's pretty cool.
Well, he's ready.
Yep.
All right, so what else you got?
That's pretty much it. The next race will be May 6th, which is next weekend.
Yeah.
Check us out on YouTube. There's a lot of great videos, and Thank you guys so much for coming out. Hope you had a good time.
Oh, we had a wonderful time. Are you kidding? It was great. And the best part about it is the car I took to Barona, I took to TV the next day, and I talked these hot rodders into detailing it. So it worked out just fine because I thought, oh, I can't give this car back to the manufacturer looking like this. But
well, you know, anyway, you went up, you probably got to road race that thing going up there because it's all windy roads getting up to Barona.
Oh, yeah. That it is, my friend. That it is. So,
was it a nice drive up there?
Pardon?
Was it a nice drive up there?
Yeah, it was very nice. It was very nice indeed. I mean, it's a nice windy little road, and yeah, it's always a nice drive when you get up there. And the night was beautiful. The weather was phenomenal. You know, it's too bad we don't have some, you know, like a bus shuttle like the casinos do, you know, just to take people from the bottom all the way to the top to the track. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be nice if we could do that. Yeah. I know a few people would
insurance
take a shuttle up there and enjoy the night.
I don't know. I think it'd be a fun time had by all, but you know, what are you gonna do? So how we're about a quarter into the season so far?
That was race 3 out of 16. So on May 6th will be race number 4. That'll be a quarter of it then.
Anybody running away with anything, or is it all pretty much nip and tuck?
It's been pretty close on a lot of them. Then the modified, like I said, Matthew Hicks got 3 first place, so he's currently leading the points, and that has 117 points right now. And then second place is 112 with Rolls-Royce Henry, which isn't too bad. 5 points off. That's
close.
Be a main event kind of show.
Mm-hmm.
Cole Dick is in third in points with 110. And let's see, Dwarf Cars would be another close class. I don't think Bobby Brown's still first in points with a 292. Second spot, Michael DeBison with a 270. So there's a pretty good point spread there.
Right.
And back to 264, and Darren Brent. Third in points. It's hard to get everyone, like, not consistently showing up, like our pure stocks and our street stocks. They randomly, you know, there's no consistent winner in all of them, or consistent leader. But it'll be back and forth, and I'm sure it'll be just great racing.
Oh, it's always great. Yeah, it's always great racing. And I got to tell you, folks, you know, I always look at that track as a small track, and it is not a small track. I mean, it's a good-sized track.
Surprisingly.
It looks...
I think our figure-eight track was bigger than Paris's.
I think it was, too. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I looked at that track, and I thought, that can't be a quarter mile. It looks like it's got to be much bigger than that. But... hey, at least it's easy to see. It's easy. It's fun to watch. And you guys definitely put on a show. And, you know, and it was, who was I talking to? I think I was talking to one of the racers from Paris. And Joel Rayborn. He runs in the fast gun class. He's like 14 years old. Or young guns. They have a little young gun class for guys up in Paris. And I was asking about what he thought about cutting the track in the mid, you know, during the intermission. And he's only 14 years old. He goes, oh, yeah, I'd much rather have, yeah, I think cutting the track is perfect. Yeah, that way it's, he was all fired up about it. So I told
no one really does it. That's one of those things that
I know.
Like, we're the only track that does it. So it's one of those things. And then so it makes our track different, but. Where can you go? $10 to get in. You know, you can bring your own food and drink, but we do have a great concession stand if people want to, you know, not bring their food and drink.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you can stay and park as long as you want overnight. So,
by the way,
do that I know of.
By the way, our secretary just texted me and she said, did we know that Darren Brown won both times and he came just when he came home from college? Did we know that?
Yeah, he's away in college, and then his 2 main event wins. I'm surprised he was there because he's away in college, and it's not that far away, but I know it's up on the coast. I don't remember where he went, but Brittany would know all that. She's part of all that group. She actually got her car running pretty good, but bent some parts on it that night, so she's been working on that car.
Yeah, well, isn't that the name of the game? You bend them, you have to fix them. And it does. Yeah, I think her Panhard bar, if I'm not mistaken, I think she posted a photo and she said, is it supposed to look like this?
or she turned it into a J bar, not a Panhard bar.
I know. I wasn't going to say nothing, but I think somebody told her that, no, that is not the way it looks. It's supposed to look. And it won't.
But she still made it work. That was a good part about it.
Well, she's got a hardworking team. I mean, that she's got a good group of people around her that keep her down the straightaway, which is always a good thing. And I think that's what's interesting about Barona. Now, folks, for all you out there listening that have never been to Barona Speedway, and you think to yourself, why would I bother to go all the way up there? Because once you go, you will have at least taken something off your bucket list that you went to a family-owned racetrack that you don't see anywhere. Tell me the next closest dirt track that's owned by a family.
It's a local track, and it's really
an
adventure to go out there.
You can't name one because there isn't one. And there's something about a family-owned track, the atmosphere, the people in the track. I mean, you know, if you go to the back gate, it's a husband and wife team that run the back gate. I can't think of her name to save my life, but I've been working with her at racetracks for as long as I've been in San Diego. I mean, it's just such a family group and everybody's friendly and everybody's talking racing. That's one thing. If you don't want to talk racing, then don't go into the pits because nobody talks anything but setup, track, air pressure, setup. Right?
That's a pretty big pit to walk around to. So,
dude, are you kidding me? You need a shuttle. I'm getting a shuttle next time. Or I'm going to beat up some other old guy and steal his golf cart.
Yeah, a little pit bike or something.
Yeah. Yeah, your boy drove right by me. Hey!
You didn't Uber him. That's why.
I'm hoof. Well, he had a whole full load is what the problem was. But, yeah, next time I go. I looked at about three of them, and nobody had keys, so they were smart. They knew I was coming. But I got an old golf cart. It's a gas. I should take it up there and just park it there. That way I've always got something.
Hey,
That'll motivate me to come up.
I'll take care of it for you while you're not there.
It's a 1979 Yamaha gas street legal golf cart.
Nice.
I know.
Got a cage on it and everything?
Sort of, kind of. Not a real cage. It's a golf cart type. You don't want to know. I'll send you pictures. All right. Hey, talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good, man.
Look forward to it. Remember, BaronaSpeedway.com, BaronaSpeedway.com. All right. We're going to take a small break. When we come back, Bam Bam is on the line, and he's going to talk to us about his new job at Paris Auto Speedway, the voice.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Folks, welcome back. Racer Radio right here on AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by the good folks at Paris Auto Speedway. Phenomenal dirt track right up there at Lake Paris in Paris, California. Go to 18700 right there at the fairgrounds. You can't miss it. Go to their website, which is the best way to keep track, ParisAutoSpeedway.com, ParisAutoSpeedway.com. You can find out race schedules. If for whatever reason you want to start racing, I'm sure there's all kinds of information on how rules and regulations, and maybe even a website on where to buy old race cars. Right now, we got Steve Bam Bam Fangmeyer on the line. Steve.
Hey, Dave. How's it going?
What's this like? Do I have to be nervous about my job on radio from what I heard of your performance last night?
No, you know, I think you're pretty safe there.
Okay, I was starting to worry, but I got to tell you, I got a text from Scott Telosio, and you might as well walk on water, but he said you just did an amazing job as the infield track announcer at Paris Auto Speedway. But in all seriousness, how'd you like? Did you enjoy doing that?
Oh, it was an absolute blast. You know, it was really cool being able to use the kind of things that, You know, the kind of questions that I like to answer when I'm, you know, from the racer side of things.
Sure.
And, you know, use a little bit of my background as a racer to help, you know, the fans understand a little more and then maybe pry a little bit more out of some of those drivers than they would have wanted to, you know, put up willingly as far as answers. But, you know, the fans just benefit from it. And, you know, we had a lot of fun. They brought the dance contest back. And danced with the kids. And it was a good old time. And, you know, played with the crowd a little bit. And it was a blast.
Well, and there's something to be said. And you can see it all across the board when it comes to sports announcers. You'll always have a better announcer if that announcer played the sport, whether it be driving a race car. You know, it doesn't make any difference. And that's the important part is if you can, you know, you can interact, you know how, and they'll answer questions from you because they know you're a racer. You're not just some jock, you know, asking questions.
Yeah, you know, 100%. You don't even need to necessarily be a driver, just so much as somebody that's involved with the sport, you know. Earl Cox, one of the winningest figure eight driver out there at Paris, him and I had what to me was one of the coolest interviews of the night. And, you know, a lot of people from the fan side of things may not have known that he built a new car over the off season. It's not just a different color. It's a whole new car. Mm-hmm. And we got into, you know, why that was and why the new colors and everything. And, you know, he did the new color for his daughter and, you know, he started to tear up a little bit. And, you know, we got to talking about how it's all family and that racing is a big, you know, without a driver and their family supporting it, it's really hard to do that week in and week out. And I really enjoyed that, and I hope the fans did as well. But you're 100% right. You know, at least when you have some kind of background knowledge as far as the sport, and you know, it makes for a better interview, better reporter, better announcer. You know, you name it, and you know that interview with Earl is just an example of you know how that is true. Because if somebody was just new to it, they would have never known that wasn't the same car.
Exactly. And see, now you know why I do what I do. I do it exactly correct. For those feelings that you got last night, because you want to interview these people. You want to know what they have to say. And, you know, and you have to be passionate about what you do, because if you're not passionate, then everybody's going to know you're not, and it's going to be a failure. So, and if you're having fun with it, man, that's even better. That's even better.
Yeah, you know, a couple of the spectator racers last night were father and son, and they had raced each other, ended up having to race each other twice. And I knew they had the same last name, and I'm like, you know, not being shy to ask questions, just started, you know, asking, you know, what's your relation? Have you guys done this? Have you guys raced before? And I relayed that to Scott. And, you know, he was able to play that up as well. And it's just fun. You know, it's a different side of things that I haven't really had the ability to do in the past. And, you know, it's something that, you know, down the road in the future, I wouldn't object doing again.
Well, of course, exactly. And, you know, like I've subbed at Cajon Speedway when Tom McGrath was either his wife found out that I would do it, so she was dragging him off the announcing booth as much as she could. And you learn to appreciate and respect what Scott Delosio does and Tom McGrath does, because it's not as easy as it looks. And it was worse for me because I didn't have a relationship with all the drivers like you and Scott both do. I mean, you know every driver on the track. You know pretty much most of the family history. Like, just like you said, you knew about the fact that he built that car. It wasn't just a fresh paint job, which is added value. But if you go in there and you don't have that, oh my goodness, it's tougher than you think, let me tell you. I can have fun with it, but it's still tougher than you think. So,
you know, I've been to tons of racetracks all around the West Coast and in the Midwest and stuff, and everybody has their own announcers and their own reporters and people that help out, and that's kind of what makes a racetrack go. But, you know, in my opinion, Scott Delosio is absolutely one of the best that you're going to listen to from a spectator standpoint on the microphone. And that's because he's active with the drivers. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's not, we're trying to get a hold of somebody at the racetrack, a driver, crew member, whoever, you know, the first person I'm going to go to and ask, you know, for information is Scott, just because if there's anybody that's going to know how to get a hold of him or who to talk to about getting a hold of him, it's him, because he's involved with everybody.
Right.
You know, and that definitely shows in how well he does his job. You know, when in the headset that I had on all night, you know, I had Scott in my ear, and when there were things that I could have done better, he let me know. And when, you know, there was opportunities for, you know, me to do just show some of, you know, what my experience is, you know, he said, hey, why don't you get on there and talk a little bit about this? And it was really cool. It was different from what I've done in the past. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really thank them for the opportunity for that. And, now, you know, that was good and fun. Now it's time to get back in the driver's seat and drive in circles for a while.
Well, I was going to say, you didn't give up the steering wheel, did you?
Oh no, we raced 2 weeks in a row. We raced Paris and, came in, you know, fourth from like 16th at one point at Paris. And then we were running fourth at Ventura last weekend and had to pull off due to some mechanical issues, but we had come from as well. And, you know, with as far as everything from the racing side of things, it's real promising and looking up, and we're really, really having, you know, an enjoyable start to the season. So we decided to take a couple weeks, and, you know, they asked me to help out last night at the racetrack. So, you know, that was, you know, worked out well, and we're going to take next week off as well and then hit Paris again on the 13th. And, you know, it's going to be a really good time. And, you know, if anybody is listening, you know, we're going to actually have the race car out the morning of the 13th at Harupa Valley High School for a car show to benefit their FFA program. You know, in high school, I did FFA. So we're going to be out there to do that and show off the car. So any fans that are listening, come by, check it out. They got like 100 and something cars last year.
Wow.
It's just a good time for a good cause. So.
Too bad you're too far away, my friend. I put high school car clubs on TV all the time, trying to generate, you know, money for either sports or extracurricular activities. Darn, I wish you were closer.
Yeah, you know, but they do a pretty good job. They've got, you know, the parental group that supports that organization is top notch. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of the dads are in the classic cars. So they decided as a fundraiser, they were going to put on a car show. This is going to be the third or fourth year for it now. And they've had over 100 cars
every year. Yeah.
So they do a great job.
Yeah, no, that is so cool. Well, they got to figure out ways to raise money. I mean, you can't rely on the government, but we won't go there. I'm telling you, brother. All right, so who's on the side of your car? Who helps you get to the racetrack every race?
Oh, I got an amazing support group. You know, not just, you know, my girlfriend and parents and crew guys week in and week out, but, you know, then you talk about you know, racing plus Parker Pumper out of Mira Loma. Anybody, if you drive a race car and you do not talk to Harold at Racing Plus about the safety equipment that you should have, you're foolish.
Mm.
I will put that out there. He is absolutely one of the smartest guys when it comes to all this stuff. And the number one thing, we don't want anybody getting hurt. And, you know, what we do. So if you're strapping into a race car, you know, before you worry about buying that, you know, fancy carburetor, your safety gear needs to be top notch, and Harold is the guy to talk to. And Domestic Diesel, John at Domestic Diesel and Chino does a great job with anything diesel related. The Oil Twins, Am's Oil, Casey and Andy Jones.
Oh yeah.
Ibox Springs, Rent a Home, Not a House, Dogwood Acres Campground. If you guys are in the Ohio area, you know, fellow racer Terry, he has a campground out there, and it's a pretty cool place from all the pictures he sent out. So, you know, that's somewhere you should definitely check out. And we had a couple of new people step on board. We got Lawler's Towing out of Riverside, and we have Walker Performance Filtration, you know, supplying, you know, helping us out with air filter technology and things like that. So, can't do anything. We would not be even close to be able to put it on a car on the track without each and every one of those people stepping up, helping us out, and then our crew guys sacrifices week in and week out, you know, providing, you know, giving us a few hours here and there away from their families so that we can try and get a car that's competitive and fast. And Jimmy Reeves at BMS by Extreme out there in Great Bend, Kansas, he built us a pretty cool hot rod, and we've been talking about some chassis changes, and we were fast, you know, first couple races of the year. And I think, you know, with his help, we're going to be even faster. And then I'm really excited for the 13th.
Wow. I guess so. I'd be just as excited. I haven't had you down to KUSI yet, have I?
Yeah, we went down last year with the car.
I think,
and,
aren't we due again?
Temper, shift the illusions.
Yeah, aren't we due again?
I think we're due again. And you know what, Dave? The car looks way cooler this year than last year.
Well, then I tell you what.
I don't know if you've been on our Facebook page and checked it out, but it's pretty cool.
I will definitely take a look at it. I will go home and I will look at it for a Sunday that's in between racing schedules, and have you guys drag the crew down, and we'll give you some more love.
Hey, I'm down for that. You just let me know what's good for you.
You're the man. All right, we're going to let you go. Thank you very much. Right now, Austin Edwards is calling in, and he raced at Madera. You should meet this kid, Steve. Young kid. I think he's 12 years old.
this kid
can drive like nobody's business. So anyway, grab your KCBQ app, and you can listen to the interview. We're going to hit the dusty trail just for a moment or two. We'll be right back. This is Racer Radio.
AM 1170, The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to Racer Radio right here on AM 1170. We are The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Certified Car Care. 11370 North Woodside Avenue in lovely Santee. Go to CertifiedCarCare.net, CertifiedCarCare.net for all your automotive needs. All right, we've got Austin Edwards on the line. Hey, Austin, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Dave.
How's it going?
Just another weekend, you know. turned out pretty well, but it was a lot of up and downs throughout Friday to Saturday. So.
Yeah, so you went to Madera, what, last night to race?
Yeah, we I don't know, you could call it early today. I mean, we were up for quite a while. I'd say past them high, but yeah, it's being the last race, we had those problems. It was really good to be back off the run racing with those guys. We came short of the win, but, you know, we got a top three, second place. Still really good.
There ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, how many cars are you up against?
There were 22, but I don't know exactly how many were at the end. I know it was under 19, I want to say.
Well, that's pretty good. So how'd you qualify? Did you qualify up in the top five?
We qualified fifth, but they do what's called a card draw for the top six. Every single person in the top six will draw a card, and that's where they start. I ended up pulling second on the outside pole.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. And you were able to stay with it. So any mechanical issues or everything goes smooth?
No, we didn't have anything backwards like we did last race. You remember about that.
Right.
So we pulled second, and the outside is something else on that track. But luckily, we were able to come back down the inside really fast. Me and Jesse Love and his 38 car were having a great battle. I got around him. He got back around me, and I wasn't able to get around him. My car started, it's called pushing real bad. It wants to go towards the wall instead of spinning out. So a little bit of handling issues, but, I mean, we were able to hold off second. We had third place right behind us, kind of hounding us a little bit, as it's been called.
Mm-hmm. A little rubbing his racing, maybe, on the back bumper?
Nah, I don't think I got hit, but I know I used my front bumper a couple times.
Well, that's what it's for, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Luckily, you had to try to fix it.
All right, so you got a second place, which is better than last time you raced, so you're improving.
Definitely. That's about 10 spots. Yeah.
Yeah.
10 spots better than last race.
So at least...
Of course,
go ahead.
Was that?
No, go ahead.
Well, of course, last race, last season we got 12th and then a first, but this year we have a 12th and then a second, so we're actually still kind of just that little bit behind last year, I think.
Well, how many races do you have left in this series?
There's 8 in total, so there's 6 left.
All right, so you got, how are you, of course, that, coming in 12th didn't help anything, so where are you at in the standings?
They haven't put that out there, so I'm guessing where. Well, thing is, they have this point system to where you also get points for qualifying in the top 4, and we just barely came short of that. And it's a lot to calculate. Plus the halftime points when we get halfway, the person in first gets 5 extra points. So I couldn't be exact, but I'm guessing we're 6th or 7th, maybe almost in the top 5 or so.
Yeah. Well, you definitely got. You have the opportunity to take it, if everything goes well. And it sounds to me like luck is just what you need right now.
Ever since maybe race 5 from last year, we've had issues and only like one good race in between those. But now we finally got a good second place. And the thing is, we're going to have a whole new setup for next race. I mean, even in my main stock, my Pinto, basically, we haven't won a race in both cars, at least in the late model for quite a while, but we know that we know what we have to do to be able to win, and that's always a good feeling.
Yeah. It's just a matter of, it's just that, getting the puzzle put together quick enough.
It's a matter of actually doing it instead of knowing that you can do it.
I know, don't you hate that?
You came close.
Don't you hate that?
Yeah, I mean, it sucked being right behind first place, knowing that you could almost get up there, but my car was pushing real bad, and I pushed as hard as I could. I couldn't get quite up there. Just right away.
And if you pushed it any farther, guess what? You'd have wadded it up.
Nah, hopefully not.
That's what I'm saying. You don't want to push it. Yeah, you know where to push and you know when not to push, because if you push too far.
You want to push it without spinning out or wrecking anything.
Yeah, that thin, fine line. If you can find that thin, fine line between winning and crashing, that's the key.
I always have that sense of knowing when that's going to happen, but I've seen it happen to the other drivers. They've gone over that edge accidentally, and then, tearing up equipment or losing a win to a race or swimming, stuff like that.
Yeah, I've had that feeling on occasion. I know exactly what you're talking about. Sometimes you still go ahead and push a little too far just because you just have to try and it's too late. Even though you knew not to do it, you knew not to do it, but you did it anyway.
And after, you're going, why did I do that?
Yeah, I know.
It looks stupid after, but you're thinking when you're doing it, maybe I can do this a little bit more.
But just think if you'd have made it. Just think if you'd have made it. You'd have been a star. They'd have said nobody could do that again.
Yeah.
I know. It's terrible. It's ugly. Hey, who's on the side of your car or on the hood? You still got the dogs?
Oh, yeah. We got still up there.
Well, talk to the folks about it. Tell us what kind of a sponsorship that is, because that's something that you started doing when you were quite young, even though you're still young.
Well, the thing is, it's not exactly what you would call sponsorship. It's a charity that I'm raising money for. Yeah,
it's a backwards sponsorship. You're sponsoring them.
Exactly. So, because we don't have any big sponsors put on our car yet, which we really need, if anyone's interested,
Yes.
So, put them on there. They've been on my cars for about 4 years. That's how long I've been working with them. We were past $17,000 to raise for them so far. And they are a non-kill shelter back where I live in Yucaipa. They take care of the dogs the best they can. They get yard time, unlike most shelters. Their kennels get cleaned every single day, and there are plenty of volunteers willing to help. And it's a great place.
I was going to say, and the only reason you know they get cleaned every single day is because you do it lots of times.
Because I volunteer there sometimes on school breaks when I don't have to, because it's actually pretty early in the morning. Sometimes 7 to 9 o'clock to get there, clean the kettles, and dogs will go back in.
Yep. Yeah.
I kind of know their whole system now.
Yeah, I know. I do too. I got dogs. I know that. Get up early, take them out. Yeah, I know. I got all that.
So, yeah, I can't imagine life without dogs yet. It'd be a little bit weird.
Yeah, wouldn't it though? Yeah, I know. I know exactly what you're saying. So you don't have any sponsorships on the car itself. The only people you've got really is your crew, your mom, and your dad. And
it's mostly family and friends.
Yeah,
it's been enough to get us so far, but still, I guarantee that. Because I know there are some big money teams out there, and we're just a small team, but if we can get that big sponsor and actually get more crew here and have more money to just dump on the car, I think that we could be overall dominating car out there. I mean, we're already doing pretty good for what we have.
Well, yeah. I mean, how old are you?
12 years old right now, full math.
You talk like you're 38, and you're looking for that one more sponsor to get to the Daytona 500. But that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if I was a business owner and I had more money than I could handle, I would be on your car, because I'm telling you this because people look for kids like you. I mean, you're 12 years old. You're supporting a charity. You're working on a race car. You take them apart. You put them back together. You're 12 years old. Why wouldn't anybody jump on board? Somebody needs to jump on board.
If you know anybody, go ahead and tell them all about it.
Oh, heck yeah. Are you kidding? I talk about you all the time, brother. I tell all kinds of people about you. Everybody I can run into that has anything that I think they could have something to do with, you know, helping you down the road. I mean, I'm telling you, Bill McAnally, that's a guy you need to be getting in touch with.
K&N Series is probably what we are going to be going for next, so that is really important if we can get any of those teams out there to help us out.
Have you heard of Bill? You know who Bill McAnally is?
I met him once, but I wasn't sure that it was him, so I just thought he was another person that the track promoter was introduced to me to. So I didn't act like he was also this special person. I had no idea it was even him. So
yeah, well, you
I
need,
met him, but I didn't know it was him at the time.
Well, you got homework. Hunt that boy down. Tell him that I sent you, and just hunt him down. And I'm telling you, because that's what he does. That's all he does. He looks for kids like you, puts him in Winston West at the time, and
yeah,
it supports him. And Napa is a sponsor that he'll slap on the side of your car. Because you know I'm going
to be nice to have one of those big sponsors on our car.
Well, I'm going to start bugging you and your mom, because all you have to do, because you know, like we've talked, the more enthusiastic you are, the more you want it, that there's a bigger chance of somebody signing you up, because there's a lot of kids out there. But, you know, you're at an age right now. I mean, you might be a little bit too young for Winston West, but, hey, at least he could see you coming up through the ranks. You never know. You never know.
That's the thing, is I think that people are scared to invest right now because I'm only 12. I'm not eligible for those big series yet. But
right.
I'm already driving a late model that's 500 horsepower, lightweight, flying around the track.
I know.
Otherwise, on national TV, on MAF-TV.
I know.
It's pretty good for what we have right now.
Dude, you're preaching to the choir. You know I'm your fan. You know I'm your big supporter. I mean, goodness gracious already. All right. So when's your next race?
Next race will actually be at Orangeville Speedway. You have May 13th, but then right after that is May 20th. The K&N cars are going to be there. So can't wait for that. But at Madeira for the televised race, that will be May 27th.
All right. Well,
we have a couple months to work with their car right now.
Well, let me know on a Friday prior to your race and when you want to call in, so I'll get you on the schedule.
Oh, yeah. We'll keep in touch.
All right, buddy. Rubber side down, shining side up. Give mom and dad a big hug, and I'll talk to you down the road.
All right, thanks, Dave. Talk to you later.
All right, buddy. All right, folks, we're going to take a small break. Gun Sports Radio coming up next, right here on AM 1170. We are the answer.
We meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Trails to you till we
Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.